And according to Rav Chisda, he actually did the Kriyas HaTorah not in the Azara, but he did the Kriyas HaTorah in the Ezras Noshim. B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Samach Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the beginning of the next Perek on Daf Samach Ches Omid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Baloi Kohen Godol Likreis. When the Kohen Gadol had finally received confirmation that the sawyer, the goat that was going to be sent to the Azazel, had arrived at its destination, and now it was permitted for the Kohen Gadol to move to the next stage of what he had to do on Yom Kippur, and he had to read from the Sefer Torah. Imrat Solikreis Babigdei Butz. Kohira, if he wants to keep wearing his white, the linen clothes that he was wearing up until now, he was allowed to. V'imlav, and if he didn't want to, then he was allowed to change not into the gold clothes, but he would change into Kohira b'itztilis lavon shaloi, which means that he would have to do kiddush yodayim v'raglayim, remove the white clothes, and put on his own white robe. And with that robe, with that itztilis, he would be allowed to read from the Sefer Torah. And then what would be the procedure? Chazan HaKnesses, the attendant of the shul, on Har HaBayis, close to the Azara, there was a shul. The attendant of the shul, Noitel Sefer Torah, he would take the Sefer Torah, V'nois Noi L'Rosh HaKnesses, and give it to the head of that shul, the one that decided whatever was going to happen in the shul, who would get which aliyahs, who would be the Shliach Tzibur, that would all be decided by the Rosh HaKnesses. The Rosh HaKnesses and the head of the shul, Noisne, would then give the Sefer Torah Lizgan to the deputy Kohen Gadol. Vazgan and the deputy Kohen Gadol, Noisne le Kohen Gadol, would hand the Sefer Torah over to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol Oymed, the Kohen Gadol will stand the umakabil and receive the Sefer Torah, the Kohira, and he will read from the Sefer Torah. What would he read? He would read Acharimois, Parshas Acharimois, V'ach Ba'osir, and he would also read in Parshas Emor the psukim that relating to Yom Kippur, which are Ach Ba'osir, V'goydol Sefer Torah, and he would roll the Sefer Torah, and which he would roll it closed, U'manichoy B'cheikoy, and would leave it on his, he would just hold the Sefer Torah, he would put it onto his lap, Va'omer, and he would say, Yoser mima shekarasi lifneichem kosuv kan, that don't think that there's anything missing in this Sefer Torah. There's nothing missing. Even more than I've read to you, which is Parashas Acharimois and Parashas Emor, I'm now going to read for you another parasha by heart, but don't think that it's missing in this Sefer Torah. That's not the reason. Uba osir shebechumish hapikudim. And then he would read from Parashas Pinchos in the Chumash of Bamidbar, which was called the Chumash of Pekudim. Pekudim means to count Klal Yisrael, and Sefer Bamidbar starts with the counting of Klal Yisrael. And Koir Alpeh, he would read that Parasha by heart. And so people shouldn't think that it's missing from the Sefer Torah, Chas V'Shalom. He would tell them, Yoyser Mima Shekarasi Lefneichem Kosov Kan, even more than I've already read for you, to you from the Sefer Torah, is actually written in the Sefer Torah, but the next parasha I'm going to read by heart because it's too far away to roll. Umavorich oleo shmoina brochis, and the Kohen Gadol makes a brocha with the Kriyas HaTorah. He makes eight brochas. What are they? Al HaTorah. He makes a brocha achreina of the on the Torah, which is the brocha we know as Asher Nosan Lanu. Va'al HaVoida, and he makes the brocha on Avoida, which Rashi says is Ratzei Ba'amcha Yisrael V'tirtze HaAvoida B'dvir Beisecha, etc. Sha'oyscha Levadcha B'yiro Na'avoid. It's the bracha which is similar to the bracha of Ratzei that we have. V'al HaHida, and he would say a bracha of thanking Hashem, which is similar to what we know, the bracha of Moedem Anachnu Loch until HaToiv Lecha L'Hoidois. V'al Mechilas HaAvoin, and he would make a bracha to receive mechila. And Rashi says this is the bracha we know as mechila avoyneseinu b'yom ha-kippurim hazeh until melech moichel v'soleach avoyneseinu, etc. V'al ha-mikdosh b'fnei atzmoi, v'al Yisrael b'fnei atzmon, v'al Yerushalayim b'fnei atzmon, And there's different versions of how to read this, because if we count all these brachas independently, there's more than eight, and the Mishnah says there's only eight. So obviously, there's only eight between all of these, but he makes a bracha for regarding Klal Yisrael, regarding Yerushalayim, regarding the Kohanim, and Va'al Shar HaTfilah. And then there was an extra bracha, which is called Shar HaTfilah, which was a general tefillah, which the Gemara is going to discuss what that was. Continues the Mishnah. Somebody who is seeing, is watching the Kohen Gadol read from the Torah, he cannot also be seeing the bull and the goat that was taken outside the camps being burnt. Then he could not possibly be seeing both at the same time, because they happen at the same time. Not because it's not permitted to see them both, rather, because it was, they were both performed at the same time, and there was a large distance between the two. One was in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll soon see where the Kohen Gadol would read, but he would read in the Azara, and the power of a soil was being burnt outside Yerushalayim. Umeleches shneim shavek achas. And both of these things were performed at the same time, and therefore it was not possible to be at both. And the Gemara is going to discuss what's the chiddush, what's the discussion here. Continue, says the Gemara. Midik toni beitztilus lovon mishaloi. Since it says in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to read from the Sefer Torah in his own white robe, it did not have to be the big day kahuna, michlal, we can deduce from there, the kriya lav avodahi, that this kriya satayra of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was not considered an avoida, because if it was considered an avoida, you'd have to be wearing the big day kahuna. Uktani, and in spite of the fact that he was allowed to wear his own clothes, meaning that the Kriya Satayra was not considered an avoida, nonetheless, Imrotso Likris with Big Day Boots, Kaira, if he chose to read the Sefer Torah while still in the white clothes, in the Big Day Kahuna that he was wearing before, he's allowed to. Because it says in the Mishnah, Imrotso Likris with Big Day Boots, Kaira, Vimlav Kaira Bits Lislava Mishaloi. Shomus Mino, can we deduce from here that Big Day Kahuna Nitnu Lehonis Behem? Can we deduce from this Mishnah that one is allowed to have benefit from the Big Day Kahuna even whilst one is not doing the Avoida? Because this Kriya Satayra is clearly not an Avoida, otherwise he wouldn't be able to read it without the Big Day Kahuna, and nonetheless he's allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna if he wants to. And we know there's a discussion, which the Gemara is going to go into a little bit more soon. Is Big Day Kahuna Nitno Lihonis or not? Can we not bring proof from this Mishnah that Nitno Lihonis, that even Shalei B'Shas Avoida, you're allowed to benefit from them? Says the Gemara, no. Dil Mashani Kriyas HaTaira, the Tzairach Avoidahi. That even though Kriyas HaTaira in and of itself is not an Avoida, however, it's a necessary step, it's part of the sequence of the Avoidais, and since it's the Tzairach, it's serving the Avoida, therefore, one was allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna whilst reading the Torah, and there wouldn't be no proof that one would be allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna even in the event that he's not doing Avoida at all. The Iboilon, because there was a question that was discussed in the Beis Medrash, Big Day Kahuna Nitnu Lehonis Behen Oiloi. Is what Oiloi Nitnu Lehonis Behen? Is one allowed to have benefit from the Big Day Kahuna whilst one is not doing the Avoida? And the question is, what's behind the question, is that the Big Day Kahuna belonged to Hekdash. You're not allowed to have benefit from Hekdash unless you're serving Hekdash. So whilst you're serving Hekdash, whilst you're doing the Avoida, of course you need to wear Big Day Kahuna. But when you finish serving the Avoida, you should have to remove them straight away. You cannot continue just you wearing the clothes when you're not doing the Avoida. Toshima. So we're going to try and bring proof from a Mishnah in Maseches Tomid to this effect, to try and bring proof whether Big Day Kahuna Nitnu Lehonis Behen Oiloi. What does it say there? Loi hoyu yoshenim beBig Day Kodesh. The Kohanim, all they're not talking about the Kohen Gadol. All the Kohanim, at the end of the day, they would not sleep whilst wearing the Big Day Kahuna. So what do we deduce from that? That shinahu deloit, that only sleeping in the big day kuhuna they were not allowed to do. Maybe they would pass wind, and that's inappropriate to do that in big day kuhuna. Ha michli achna, but if they wanted to eat during the day, they're allowed to wear the big day kuhuna. So you see from there that if since only sleeping you're not allowed to do, and you are allowed to do other activities which are not avoided, for example, eating, you see that big day kuhuna nitno lihonis ben. Says the Gemara, no, it's no proof. No, it could be that even though eating itself is not considered an avoida, but it's tzeirich avoida. It's necessary, it's needed to serve the avoida. Why? Because the Tanya we learned in a braisa that the pasuk says, "Va'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem." That the Kohanim would eat from the Korbonis, and that would contribute to the atonement. Melamed, we learn from this pasuk, Shakeanim Oichlim, that the Kohanim eat the Korbonis, Ubailim Iskaprim, and the owners of the Korban get atoned. So you see that even though eating the Korban may not necessarily be considered Avoida, but it's serving the Avoida, it's part of what's helping the atonement. And therefore, one would be allowed to eat whilst wearing big day kohuna, and it would be no proof that otherwise, doing other activities, one would be allowed to do them in big day kohuna. Says the Gemara, Sheinohu deloy. Let's deduce something else from that Mishnah, that you're not allowed to sleep in the big day kohuna, hohi luchim halcha, but you're allowed to walk around in the big day kohuna. And walking around is not serving the avoida. That seems to be something which is not avoida. Nonetheless, it seems it's muta. Only sleeping is asa, not walking around with it. So maybe I've got proof that big day kuhuna nitno lihanis, one's allowed to derive benefit from the big day kuhuna. Says the Gemara, no, there's no proof from here either. That bedinhu, that the truth is that even the hiluche nami loy, not only are you not allowed to sleep in big day kuhuna, you're also not allowed to walk around in them when you don't need to do that for the sake of the avoida. So why does the Mishnah say there that lo hayu yishenim be big day kuhuna? Why doesn't it say that they didn't walk in big day kuhuna, or they didn't do other activities? Says the Gemara, v'seifa istrichale, because the Mishnah wants to continue to tell us what they did do whilst they were sleeping with the big day kuhuna. That means the whole topic of the Mishnah is just sleeping. When the Kohanim would be sleeping, then what would they do? They would not sleep in the big day kuhuna. What would they do with the big day kuhuna? Poishtin, they would remove them, umakaplin, and they would fold up the big day kuhuna, umanichin tachas roshem, and they would put it. The literal translation would seem to mean tachas, means under the heads. We'll soon see it doesn't mean under the heads, it means just next to the heads. And in order to teach us this halacha, which we're going to learn about at length in a couple of moments, in order to teach us what they would do with the clothes whilst they were sleeping, therefore the Mishnah says that they would not sleep whilst wearing the big day kuhuna. But the fact that it says they would not sleep in it is not there in order to induce from there that, to deduce from there that you're not allowed, that you are allowed to walk with the big day kuhuna when one doesn't need it for the avoida. Continues the Gemara. And now it's referring to what we just learned from Maseches Tomid, that poishtin, they would remove the big day kuhuna, umakaplin, they would fold up the big day kuhuna, umanichin, oison tachas Hashem, and they would place the big day kuhuna under their heads. Says the Gemara, shomus mino. So let's assume that under the heads means that they were lying on it. So shomus mino, can you bring proof from here that big day kuhuna nitno lihonis? Otherwise, how would you be able to? It's true that you're not allowed to sleep in the big day kuhuna whilst wearing them, because maybe he'll pass gas, and that is not allowed to be done. Okay, but you're allowed to sleep on them, not in them, but you can put your head on them. And that's what it says there, that they would put the clothes under their heads. So can you not see from here, can we not deduce from here that it's nitno lihonis? Omer of Papa, if Papa said no. When it says there that they would put the big day kuhuna tachas roshem, that's not what it means. That's not, read it differently. It should say that they would put it near their heads, not under their heads. And therefore they were not deriving any benefit from it. And therefore there's no proof that big day kuhuna nitno lihonis. But and the fact that, okay, Omer of Mesharshia, says of Mesharshia, that shomus mina, from the fact that they were allowed to put the big day kuhuna next to their heads, or even under their heads for that matter, but next to their heads, and they were not concerned that a person would pass wind whilst the big day kuna right next to him, we see from there that that wasn't an issue. Wearing the big day kuna, that would have been an issue for a person to pass wind in that way, whilst wearing big day kuhuna. But if they're just folded up and next to his head, then we don't mind, that doesn't bother us, since he's not wearing them. So Rav Masharcheh says the same would apply by tefillin. We know that one's not allowed to pass wind whilst wearing tefillin, but tefillin minatzad, but if he's got the tefillin just next to his head, next to him, shapir domi, we're not afraid that he's going to pass wind. Since he's not wearing the tefillin, it's not an issue. And now the Gemara is continuing and saying, Hochanami mistabra, it's logical what Rav Papa said, that they would put the big day kuhuna not under their heads, rather next to their heads. The keneged roshem, the isal kadai toch tachas roshem, because if you're going to say they would put it under their heads, then it's true that you would deduce from there that you're allowed to have hanor from the big day kuhuna, like we wanted to say, shamus minor big day kuhuna nitnu lihonis behen. But there's going to be another issue. How are you going to avoid that? What's the other issue? V'teipa klei mishum kilayim, that we know that the belt of the regular kohanim the whole year, at least according to one opinion, we'll soon see, we'll see in a moment what it's dependent on, but the belt, which was one of the big day kuhuna, it held kilayim. Kilayim is wool and linen together. You're not allowed to derive benefit from that. You're not allowed to wear it. You're not allowed to wear kilayim. And any type of benefit similar to wearing, like if it's covering a person, he's not allowed to do that either with kilayim. And so over here, how could we suggest, I'm saying, the Gemara is saying that if in the event that what the Mishnah meant that they would put the big day kuhuna under his head, we would have an issue of kilayim, dehoika avnet, because the belt was there. Unehi nami denitna lihonis ben, it could well be that as far as having benefit from the big day kuhuna, there's no issue. Homis hani mikilayim, but there's another avera, you're not allowed to have benefit, you're not allowed to have pleasure from kilayim. And just by the way, I forgot to mention before, the opinion that would hold that big day kuhunas nitno lehonis behen, even though it's hektish, the logic behind that would be because loy nitno teiro lemalachei hasharis. If it would be also to have benefit from big day kuhuna, then the second that you finish doing the avodah, immediately you'd have to remove the big day kuhuna. And since the Torah was not given to angels, it's impossible to make sure that you're never having benefit from it when you're not doing the Avodah. So that's proof, according to that opinion, that Big Day Kuhuna must be, when the Torah initially made the Big Day Kuhuna Hektish, it must have been with the intentions that you could benefit from it even when you're not doing the actual Avodah. But let's get back to the Gemara. That the proof that they would put the big day kuhuna next to their heads and not under their heads is because otherwise they would have a side issue of kilayim. That according to the opinion that says that the belt of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which was certainly did not have kilayim, zehu avneitu shel kohen hedyot, that was the same type of belt that the kohen hedyot wore the whole year and it didn't have kilayim, then it's okay. So the belts of the Kohanim didn't have kilayim, so there would have been no issue. Elo leman de Omar, avneitu shel kohen gadol, lo yizeu avneitu shel kohen hedyot. But according to the opinion that says that the belt of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which did not have kilayim, was not similar to the belts of the Kohanim the whole year, and the belts of the Kohanim the whole year did have kilayim, Michael Amima, what would you say? The belts have kilayim, and you are not allowed to put the kilayim under a person's head. And therefore we have proof to what Rav Papa said, that according to that opinion at least, there's proof to what Rav Papa said, that it was not matnichin oison tachas roshem, they didn't put the big day kuhuna under the heads of the kohanim, rather they put it next to the heads of the kohanim. And now the Gemara is going to say that maybe we can disprove this proof to Rav Papa. V'chiteima, are you going to say, kilayim b'halvisha, that the only is of kilayim is when you're wearing a garment that has woolen linen in it. V'haloh, Huda also, or putting it, covering yourself, warming yourself up by covering yourself with kilayim, that would be awesome. But bahatzah, but just spreading out kilayim and lying on top of it, without the kilayim garment being on top of the person, shari, maybe that would be mutter. And therefore, even if the Mishnah meant that you would put the big day kahuna underneath their heads, there would be no issue of kilayim. That can't be correct. V'otanya, did we not learn in the Braisa? It says in the Pasuk, Ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale olecho. Aval ata muta la tzioi tachtecho. That from the reading the Pasuk in and of itself, the Pasuk would say that shatnas you're not allowed to wear and you're not allowed to put it on top of the person. But underneath a person, just spreading out kilayim and sleeping, lying on top of it would be okay. Aval omru chachomim. But the chachomim said, osanasis kein, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Shemo tichrich nima achas al basori. Maybe a single thread from this garment, which has kilayim, will be wrapped over and cover the person, and that would be asa. So the Chachomim said that since we can't be careful, that thread is not going to go on the person, therefore it's asa even to sleep on top of a piece of material that has kilayim in it. And therefore, according to everybody, if there's kilayim, they would not be allowed to even lie on it. And therefore, this proof to what Rav Papa said, that they would not put the big day kahuna under their heads, they would put it next to them. V'chi teima, are you going to say, the mafsik lo midi beina beina? It could be that they would put the big day kahuna under their heads, and there'll still be no issue of kilayim, and hence there'll be no proof for Rav Papa. Why? How would that be possible? That there would be something else separating between the big day kahuna and their heads, and that way the threads of the big day kahuna, of that belt, would not be able to cover them whilst they're lying on it. Are you going to suggest that? V'omer b'shimon ben pazi omer b'shua ben levi omer rebi mishum kaholo kadisha shebi Yerushalayim. It said in the name of the holy congregation of Yerushalayim, that afilu eser matzois, even if you have 10 spreads, one on top of the other, Zual gavzu, the kilayim tachtem, and underneath them there is some kilayim. Also lishan aleim, then midrabanon, the chachomim said you're not allowed to sleep even on top of all the spreads, even though there's no normal way of that a thread of kilayim would cover the person. El olav shma mino, it must be keneged roshem shma mino. So there's no way that there could be an issue of kilayim, and nonetheless the kohanim could have put their heads on top of the big day kahuna, at least according to the opinion that the belts of the kohanim had kilayim. So it's proof to Rav Papa that they didn't put the big day kahuna under the heads, they would put the big day kahuna next to them. Ravashi says no. La'olam tachas roshem, it could well be they would put the big day kahuna underneath the heads. You're going to ask a question, how can you have benefit, or how can you risk having benefit from kilayim? You're not allowed to lie on kilayim. Big day kahuna koshim heim. Big day kahuna were made of very stiff material. Ki hada omer Rav Huna b'rei Rabbi Yeshua, as we saw in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, that hai namto, the halacha is that if you have some felt, gamdo, which is stiff, to narosh, from a place of narosh, where even though there's kilayim in it, shario, you're allowed to rest on top of it. And since the material and the threads are very stiff, then they would not typically warm up the person. Even in the event that a thread would cover the person, would go over him, it's not a type of benefit that's similar to wearing, which is being heated up by a cloth, and therefore it's not osa. So the big day kahuna as well, they were made of very stiff materials. We're going to learn later why, because the threads themselves were very thick. They were made of a stiff type of material, and since they were stiff, they would not typically, even if they would go over the person, it would not give them benefit similar to wearing, and therefore it was muta. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, there's no proof to Rav Papa, obviously. And Rav Ashi indeed says that they would put the clothes under the heads, not necessarily next to the heads. Continues the Gemara Toshima. Big day kahuna, we're going to try and bring another proof. Is one allowed to have benefit from big day kahuna? Shalei b'sha'as avoidah. Big day kahuna, hayotzem bohen lemedina. If anybody goes outside the Beis HaMikdash with the big day kahuna, also midrabanon, it's also to wear the big day kahuna outside the Beis HaMikdash. And when it says here, going outside, it doesn't only mean outside the Beis HaMikdash, it means outside the Harabais, Uba Mikdash, but within the confines of the Har HaBayis, bein b'sha'as avoida, bein shelo b'sha'as avoida, irrespective of if you're doing the avoida at the time or not, mutar, you're allowed to keep wearing the big day kuhuna, mipnei she big day kuhuna, nitnu leonis behen shma mino. Indeed, we have proof from here that one is allowed to benefit from the big day kuhuna, even whilst he's not working, doing the avoida with them. However, taking them out of the Har HaBayis, that would be asa, because that's, Rashi says, shenoeg bo derech choil, because then it's like, looking, you're treating these clothes as if they're just mundane clothes of people, private people, and that's inappropriate. Says the Gemara, upa medina loy, outside the Har HaBayis, are you indeed not allowed to wear the big day kuhuna? This seems to contradict an incident recorded in a braisa of Otanya, be'esrim v'chamisha b'teves, on the 25th of Teves, Yoim Hargarizim, the day is called, we'll soon see why, it's called Yoim Hargarizim. The Hargarizim was this mountain where the Kutim would live, and that day was a day of, which was a Yom Tov, and on this day, which was called Yoim Hargarizim, Deloy Lemisped, it's not one, is not, it's a type of a Yom Tov, and was not allowed to give Hespedim on that day. Ologies. Yoim shebikshu kutim es beis elikeinu melexandrus mugdum. Lachrivoi. That was that day that the kutim, they asked from Alexandrus Mugdon, who was in control of the ruler at the time, they wanted, these kutim, they asked permission from him to destroy beis elikeinu, to destroy the beis amigdosh. V'nosnu lehem. And he gave them permission to do that. They came and told Shimon HaTzadik that the Kutim had just received permission from Alexandros Mugdon to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So what did Shimon HaTzadik do? Lovash big day kuhuna, you put on the big day kuhuna. V'nis'ate, if he wrapped himself a big day kuhuna with a big day kuhuna. U'miyakire Yisrael imoy, and the prominent people, the special people within Klal Yisrael went with him, and lit torches were in their hands, and all night halolu Shimon HaTzadik with these prominent people were heading towards Alexandrus Mugdon from one direction, and the Kutim were heading towards Alexandrus Mugdon from the other direction, until it was the morning. Kiven she'ola amud ha'shachar, as soon as it became morning, then Omar Lehem, Alexandrus Mugdon, said to the Kutim, Mi halolu, who are these people who are coming? Omru loy, so the Kutim said to Alexandrus Mugdon, Yehudim, these are the Jews, the Yisro, the Yehudim, she'mordu b'cho, that they are rebelling against you. Kiven she'igia le'antifterus, when Shimon HaTzadik reached this place called Antifterus, Zor Chochama, by that time the sun was already shining brightly, Upogu Zer Bezer, and they all met, Alexandrus Mugdon met Shimon HaTzadik. Kivon Sherol Shimon HaTzadik. As soon as Alexandrus Mugdon saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yorad Mimerkavtoi, he went down from his chariot, Vishtachav Lefonov, and bowed in front of him. Omruloi, they said to Alexandrus Mugdon, Melech Godel Kamoyscho, a great king like you, Yishtachav Ele Yehudi Zeh, is bowing to this Yid? Omar Lehem, Alexandrus Mugdon said to them, Dmus Diuknoi, an image which has a likeness, Shel Zeh, to this person, Shimon HaTzadik, Menatzachas, gains victory, Lefonai, for me, Beveis Milchamti, when I'm on the battlefields. Omar Lehem, so Alexandrus Mugdon said to Shimon HaTzadik and the people who were with him, Loma Bosem, why have you come to me? Omru, they said, Efshar, Bayis Shemispalalim Boyolecho, is it possible that the home, the house, where we daven for you, Alexandrus Mugdon, Val Malchuscha, and your empire, Shalotichoriv, that it should not get destroyed, Yat Ucho Oivdekechovim Lachrivoi, that idol worshippers should mislead you to give them permission to destroy it, to destroy that very home in which we daven for your kingdom. Omar Lehem, so he said to Shimon HaTzadik, Mi halolu, and who would be those people who want to destroy this home? Omru loy, they said to him, Kutim halolu, is these Kutim here, Shoimdim lefnecho, are standing in front of you. Omar lehem, Alexander Smugdon said to Shimon HaTzadik and his people, Harei musurim biyodeichem, I'm handing them over to you, you can punish them however you feel proper. Miyad, immediately, nokvum, they pierced the kutim b'ikveihem, in their heels, v'tolum, and they suspended them b'zinvei susem, with the tails of their horses, v'hoyu megarin oisom, and they dragged them ala kutim, on thorns, v'ala barkonim, and on thistles, atche igiul har gerizim, until they came to the place where the kutim lived, which was har gerizim. Kivon she'igu la'har Gerizim, when they reached Har Gerizim, Chorshuhu, they plowed the whole Har Gerizim, v'zaru'u, and they planted it, Karshinin, which is a type of plant that after you plant in it, you can't do anything else with the fields. K'derech she'bikshu la'asis le'beis elikeinu, exactly what the Kutim wanted to do to the Beis HaMikdosh. V'oisa ha'yoyim, and that day that the Kutim were defeated, asuhu yomtuv, they made a yomtuv. That's what it says in the Braisa. But what do we see from this Braisa? That Shimon HaTzadik went all the way to Alexander's Mukden whilst wearing Big Day Kohuna. How was he allowed to do that? We saw before, it's also to wear the Big Day Kohuna outside Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to suggest two answers. Iboy Seimo, one suggested answer is Ru'uyin le Big Day Kohuna. They were prepared and they were going to become Big Day Kohuna, but they had not yet been dedicated to be Big Day Kohuna, and therefore they didn't have the status of Big Day Kohuna, and one was allowed to wear them outside. We boys say more, it could be, in extreme situations, for the sake of withholding Hashem's name, one's allowed to deviate from the letter of the law somewhat. Obviously we cannot do that, but the great Chachomim of those generations were allowed to do that. Rabbeinu Chananel says that it was a sakona, that it was dangerous, there was sakonos nefoshos, and therefore you cannot learn from that case, and Shimon HaTzadik was allowed to do what he did. Continues the Gemara, Chazan HaKnesses, the attendant of the shul, Noitel Sefer Torah, gives it, he honors the head of the shul. The head of the shul gives it to the deputy Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol gives it to the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Shema Mino, it seems to be apparent from here, that Cholkin covered the Talmud Bim Koim Harav, that a smaller person is allowed to give honor to somebody greater than him, even though both of them are in the presence of a Rav, of the Rebbe of both of them. Over here, how could the attendant of the shul give honor to the head of the shul, when the head of the shul may be deserving of honor from the attendant, but in the presence of the Kohen Gadol, who's considered the Rav, is one allowed to give honor to anybody else other than the Kohen Gadol? From here you see that you are allowed to. Omar Abaya says there's no proof from here. It could be in a regular case, one would not allow to give honor to somebody who's deserving of honor, but not in the presence of somebody who's greater than both of them. But by over here, kulam mishum kvoidu de kohen gadol hu. Over here, it was all the very fact that there were a number of levels of people below the kohen gadol, the attendant, the head of the shul, the deputy kohen gadol, all those levels just proved how great the kohen gadol was over all of them. And therefore, it was giving honor to the Kohen Gadol by the very fact that they were passing the Sefer Torah from one prominent person to a more prominent, in order to ultimately get to the Kohen Gadol, who was above all of them. And since it was there to serve the honor of the Kohen Gadol, one was allowed to do it. Continues the Gemara, the Kohen Gadol, we saw in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol would stand, receive the Sefer Torah, and read from the Sefer Torah. Michlal. The Gemara says we can deduce from here, Shehu Yeshev, that he was sitting, and now he stood up to receive the Sefer Torah. V'anantinan, but the Gemara is now asking a question that did we not learn in a Braisa? Tanan means a Mishnah, but it's not. There is no such Mishnah. Did we not learn that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azora, that one is not allowed to sit in the Azora, Elo Lamalchei Beis David Bilvad, only for the dynasty of the kingdom, the kings that came from the dynasty of David HaMelech Bilvad, only they were allowed to sit in the Azara. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayovoy HaMelech David HaMelech came, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, and he sat before Hashem, Vayoyimah Mi Anoichi, etc. So you see that David HaMelech and the dynasty of David HaMelech were allowed to sit in the Azara, and the other Kohen Gadol was not allowed to. Answers the Gemara, Kedomer of Chizda be'ezras noshim Hachanami be'ezras noshim. He was sitting in the Ezras Noshim, which was outside the Azara. And in the Ezras Noshim, there was no issue of sitting. And now the Gemara is saying, V'heicha itmar der Rav Chisda. Where do we find the Rav Chisda related to a place where Kriyas HaTorah was done and said that it was done be'ezras noshim? Ahad the Tanya we learned in a Braisa, and this Braisa is actually talking about Hakil. Hakil was a time when in the first year of the Shemitah year, or the eighth year, the Sukkahs after Shemitah, where the king would read some parashiyos of Sefer Dvarim to everybody who was there. It was called Hakil. The question is, where was the king standing? Heichon koirin boy. The Tanakhama say ba'azara, that he would read it in the Azara. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov omer b'harabayis. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov maintained that the king would read the Hakil from the Sefer Torah. He would read it in the harabayis. Shenemar, and he brings a pasuk regarding Ezra. Ezra was not a king. It was not Sukkot. He was talking about on Rosh Hashanah when the people came up from the exile. Ezra took the Sefer Torah and read to them. And we're about to see where Ezra was positioned when he read to them. And the Braisa here, this Tesefta, obviously assumes that the same place where Ezra read was where the king would read for Hakil. And what does it say in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Vayikra boi lifnei orochoiv, that Ezra read from the Torah before the plaza, asha lifnei shara maim, and according to Beleza ben Yaakov, this was the on Harabais. The Tanakhama, however, they also know this pasuk, and they assume that this pasuk is referring to the Azara, and somehow they understand that Lifnei Shara Mayim is, that means the Tanakhama held that even though it's possible that Ezra himself read the Torah on the Lifnei Arachiva Shel Lifnei Shara Mayim on the Harabayis, but the king would read Hakil, would read it in the Azara. V'amar Rav Chisda said that when the Tanakhama said that the king would read Hakil in the Azara, it was Be'ezras Noshim. He would read it in the Ezras Noshim, and the same way as the king would read the Sefer Torah by Hakil in the Ezras Noshim, the Gemara assumes that so too the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur will read the Sefer Torah from whilst in the Ezras Noshim. In the Ezras Noshim, one was allowed to sit, and therefore there's no question when it says that the Kohen Gadol would stand up to receive the Sefer Torah. Indeed, over there he was allowed to sit. That seems to be how the Rabbeinu Chanan understands this Gemara. There's a bit of a discussion in the Mefarshim, but that's a basic reading. Continues the Gemara, coming back to that reading of the Torah in Sefer Nehemiah referring to Ezra. It says in the Pasuk, Vayvorech Ezra Hashem Elohim, that Ezra, he gave a bracha, so to speak, he blessed Hashem Elohim HaGodol, that he was very big. We'll soon see what this means. My Godil, what does the word Godil mean? Omer Yosef Omarav, Shegidloi B'Shem HaMefirosh, that Ezra, he magnified Hashem with the Shem HaMefirosh. Even though we, when we say Hashem's name, we don't read it in the way that's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Chas V'Shalom, we're not allowed to say Hashem's name, but Ezra, at that time, he magnified Hashem by mentioning and relating to him with the letters of his name. Rav Gidl Omar. Rav Gidl says, what does it mean that Ezra magnified Hashem, so to speak? That he instated on that day, Ezra instated that at the end of a bracha, the end of all brachas that were said in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, instead of, for example, Baruch Ato Hashem, and how we would finish the bracha, they would say, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, Baruch, and then they would finish the bracha. And this is a sugya in Maseches Tainis, which we're going to learn, that is what Ezra instated. And since that Ezra said that from that time in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, that's called that he magnified, so to speak, Hashem's name. Omer Le'abaye, V'dilma shegidloi b'shem ha'mefirosh. How did Rav Gidl know that Ezra, he instated that the brachos and the Beis HaMikdash would all end with Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam? Maybe, as Rav Yosef says in the name of Rav, that Gidloi means b'shem ha'mefirosh. Omer le, So he answered and said, no, Ein Oimrim Shem HaMefurosh Begvulim, outside the Azara, it was also to say Hashem's name in the way it's written, reading the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Asa. And therefore, and Ezra couldn't have done that, he must have just instated, like Rav Gidl said, that at the end of the brachas they would say, Baruch Hashem Elikei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, is it also to say the Shema Mefurosh outside the Azara? V'oksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, V'yiz'aku b'kol gadol, which is another Pasuk there by Ezra, that what does it mean, V'yiz'aku b'kol gadol? V'omer Rav Gidl, shegidlei b'shem ha'mefirosh. Rav Gidl said, himself says, that gidlei b'shem ha'mefirosh. So how can you say that the reason that Rav Gidl didn't want to explain that when Ezra Sefer says that v'ivorech Ezra es Hashem elikim ha'godol, that it doesn't mean shem ha'mefirosh because it's osa, but when it says v'yizaku b'kol gadol, then that's what they did. They referred to Hashem with his shem ha'mefirosh. Says the Gemara, Hayras Shahisa, there was a specific reason at that point, that was a one-off, that they were allowed to say Hashem's name, not the way we do, but the way that the letters actually reading Hashem's name, and therefore you cannot bring proof to there that anywhere else you were allowed to do that, and any other time outside the Azara, it was Asa. Continues the Gemara. And now the Gemara is saying, Vayizaku b'kol gadol, when they cried out to Hashem, my Omr, what did they say to Hashem? Omar Rav, Itaymir of Yechanon, they said as follows, Bayo, bayo, woe, woe, Hainu, hai da'achrave l'migdasha. This, referring to the Yetzirah, the evil inclination that would make people be drawn towards Avodah Zarah, it's what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, v'kadyo leheichole, and it caused the first Beis HaMikdash to be burnt, v'kotlinu lekulu tzadike, and it caused the tzadikim all to be killed, v'aglinu leYisrael me'ar'eoin, and Klal Yisrael were exiled from their land, v'adayin merakid beinon, and this Yetzirah is still dancing amongst us. Klum Yehov Teilon, did you not give us the Yetzihara, Elo Lekebule Be'agra, in order to challenge us, and we should overcome the challenge and receive reward? Loi Ihu Bo'inon, we don't want the Yetzihara, V'loi Agra Be'inon, and we don't need the reward. This is not working for us. And they were, so to speak, bemoaning this Yetzihara of Avodah Zarah. Nofalu Pitka Mirakia, a note fell down from heaven, that the Havaksivbe that said on it, Emes, truth, which means that Hashem was, so to speak, on the same side as Klal Yisrael in their bemoaning that something had to be done about this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Omer of Chanina, and the Gemara just says, Omer that Rav Chanina says, Shema Mino, we see from here that Chaysomish Lakadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the signet of Hashem, is the three letters of Emes, truth. That's what, so to speak, defines how Hashem signs who He is. This is what Hashem is all about, truth. So continues the Gemara. Oisivu betanisa tlosa yoimin utlosa leilvasa. They sat in fasting for 3 days and three nights. And ultimately, masaruhu nialaihu. This Yetzirah was delivered into their hands, to them. Nofak, how did that happen? Nofak, it emerged and Asa came out, kiguria denura, like a fiery lion cub, came out, mi beis kodshi hakodoshim, from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Omer lohu novi li Yisrael, the novi li Yisrael, the prophet to Klal Yisrael, who was Zechariah ben Idoi, he said to them, Hainu yitzrud avodes kechovim, this fiery lion cub, this is the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Zois Harisha. This is evil, this is wickedness. Bahadei de Tafsuale, as they were seizing it, this fiery lion cub, Ishtamit Binisa Mimazia, a hair slipped from its mane, from part of its body, Varama Kola, and it raised its voice. V'ozal kolei, and its voice went, could be heard, arba mea parasa, 400 parasa, and that's approximately the size of the entire Eretz Yisrael. Omru, so the Chachomim, they said, hey Chenavid, what should we do now? Dilma chas v'sholem, merach me'alei mishamaya, maybe chas v'sholem, Hashem will have mercy on this fiery cub, lion cub, and we'll lose our control over it. Omar luhu Novi, the Novi said, Shadura, throw it, Beduda da'avra, into a cast it into a barrel, into a container made of lead, v'chifyuhu lepume ba'avra, and cover its opening with lead. Why? Da'avra, because lead, mish'av shoiv kola, it absorbs the voice, the sounds. And shenemer, this is what it says in the pasuk, in that same pasuk that we saw before, Vayomer zois harisha, vayashlich, the pasuk says, vayashlich oiso, you should cast it, el toicha eifa, into this barrel. Eifa is three saw, it's a certain measure, but that's where they would throw it into. Vayashlich es even ha'oiferes el pia, and they cast a lead stone onto the opening of this barrel, onto this container. And into that they trapped the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Omru, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who they were doing this at the time, they said, Hoyil v'eis rotzenu, since this is a divine moment, this is a, we're seeing divine favor here, Nib'i rachma, let's also ask for mercy, a yitzra da'avira, for the yitzahara that causes immorality. Bo rachmi, they daven that Hashem should give them over the yitzahara of immorality. V'emser b'yadayu, and it was delivered to their hands. Omar luhu, the yitzahara, this yitzahara said to these chachomim, chazu si, de'ikat lisu lahu, if you kill him, it, referring to itself, if you kill this Yetzer Kalya Alma, the whole world will become desolate. So they wanted to see what was going to happen. So Chofshua, they imprisoned this Yetzer Hara, Tlosa Yema, 3 days. Ubo Beyasa Bas Yema, they, Bechol Eretz Yisrael, they searched the entire Eretz Yisrael for a freshly laid egg. V'leish Dakach, and they couldn't find it. Omri, they said, Hey Chanavid, what should we do? Niktale, should we kill this Yetzer Hara? Kalya Alma, the world will become desolate. There'll be no reproduction. Nibi Rachma Palga, should we ask mercy just for half of it? That means that this desire to reproduce should be used in the right way, in a moral way, and just daven that the concept of immorality should be taken away? That won't work. Palga Barakia Lo Yehova. In heaven, they don't do things half. Either they're going to take away this whole desire, or they're going to leave the desire. Kochlinu le'enei, they blinded the eyes of this Yetzirah, v'shavku, and they released it. V'ahani, what they accomplished was, d'loi migribo le'inish b'krevoso. A person does not get aroused by his relatives. A healthy person would not want to do an immoral act with a relative of his. And that's that. At least that they achieved. Continues the Gemara. B'marova masnu hocha, in Eretz Yisrael, they learned that they taught as follows. Rav Gidl Omar. Rav Gidl said that what does Godel mean? It means shegidlei b'shem ha'mefeirosh, that he magnified Hashem by relating to him with his shem ha'mefeirosh, by his name being read as it's written. Rav Masna Omar. Rav Masna said a different explanation. He says that when it says that Ezra v'Yizaku b'kol Godel, when they magnified, so to speak, Hashem, what does that mean? It means the posuk that was said later on there. It says in the posuk, v'ato elekeinu, you our Hashem, hokeil hagodol hagiboyer v'hanoira, etc. Shomer abris v'achesed, and the posuk continues. So they magnified him by referring to Hashem as the Hashem which is Godel, great, Giboyer, powerful, and Noiro, and awesome. V'hadar of Masna, and this that Rav Masna explained, that when it says that they referred to Hashem, they magnified Hashem, what it means is that they referred to these three attributes of Hashem, great, powerful, and awesome, is Matyo, is supporting, is leaning towards and supporting Lidur of Yeshua ben Levi, something that Rav Yeshua ben Levi said. Domer of Yeshua ben Levi. Lama Nikra Shimon, why were there was a group of people known as the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the great assembly, the men of the great assembly. Who are these great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGdola? They were the ones that got rid of this Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and they did a lot of things. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola mentioned many times in Shas, that why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGdola? the great assembly. What was Godel? What was the greatness there? Sheikh Ziru Atara Layeshna, they restored the crown of glory to its original glory. Also Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened to Hashem, Omar, he used a similar term. He said, Hakel, Hagodil, Hagibor, Vanoiro, Ashelo Yisaponim, Leikach Sheikhad. He referred to Hashem with these three attributes. However, also Yirmiyah, at some point, Yirmiyah Novi said, V'omar, Nochrim, the strangers, the Goyim, the strangers, Mekarkarin are croaking Behechol, in the Hechol, and just doing whatever they want, making noise and doing what they want in the Hechal. Where is there a manifestation of Hashem's awesomeness? And since Hashem is not being manifested by awesomeness, proof being that the Goyim or the strangers are croaking in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the Hechal, therefore it's inappropriate to refer to Hashem with that name. So when Yirmiyah Novi used to daven, he didn't say Noira, he just said Hagodil Vagibor. Also Daniel, then Daniel came and said, Omar, he says, Nochrim, these strangers, these Goyim, Meshtabdim Bevonov, they are enslaving Hashem's children. Ayigvuroisov, where is there a manifestation of Hashem's power? Loi Omar Gibor, he said that the words, the way we relate to Hashem, are not Chas V'Shalom, who He is in essence. He has no name. We only refer to His, the way He rules the world, to His manifestation of His Hanhogus, of the way He's dealing with the world. And since He seems not to be using His strength to save His sons from those who are enslaving them, therefore it's inappropriate to refer to them as, to refer to Hashem as Gibor. Also Inu, Va'omru, they came, and the Anshei Knesset Agdeila, they said, Adarab, on the contrary, Zuhi Gvuras Gvurosei, this is the magnificent strength of Hashem, that what? Shekovish, we know, Ezu Gibor HaKovish Es Yitzray, when a person restrains from their will and their natural desire, that's called strength. There's a tremendous, magnificent strength of Hashem, Shenoisen Erech Hapayim L'Roshoyim, that even though these Roshoyim, these wicked people, are enslaving Klal Yisrael, Hashem is not taking his revenge, he's not knocking them out. And that is a tremendous strength in and of its own right. Ve'elu hein l'ra'isov, and you want to know about the awesomeness of Hashem, She'el Moli Meroish L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, the very fact that we're in Golus, we've been exiled, that in itself is an expression of Hashem's awesomeness. Because if Hashem wasn't protecting us in this Golus, the moment we went into exile, all the nations want to kill us and destroy us. Nonetheless, we're the only surviving nation of all those nations that were oppressed. How can a nation survive between all the other nations? And therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila says you should reinstate, you should, when you daven, you should say not just HaGodel, you should say HaGodel, HaGibor V'Hanoira. And that's why they were called the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila. V'Rabbonon, and Yirmiyah, Hanovi, and Daniel, Heicha Ovdi Hocha, how could they remove God, Gibor, and Noira, V'Okra Takanta D'Tokin Moshe? Did Moshe Rabbeinu not institute that when one davens, one uses these three attributes, Godel, Gibor, and Noira? Says the Gemara, no, Omer Abelaza, Miteich She'yodim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu She'amitihu, since they knew that Hashem is truthful, and He wants us to relate to Him, based on the actual attributes with which He is manifesting Himself. Therefore, they didn't refer to Him in falsehood. They didn't refer to Him as Gibor and Noira when He's not manifesting Himself in that way. And that's why they removed those words from their tefillahs. The Anshei Knesset HaGdeila returned them by saying that the very going into Golus expresses Hashem's Gvura and Hashem's Noira. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.